I feel like we should set up a little intro at the beginning of the episode, just to frame up the future, the shape of things to come. Dear listeners, we have been doing this show since November, and I guess we've been recording it since September. We thought from the beginning that the show would sort of evolve over time as our careers evolved, because the show is about our careers, is about being someone in your 20s trying to figure something. Trying to kind of figure this stuff out as we go. And we're sort of figuring out the podcast as we go too. So we've got this first block of 10 episodes. This is the 10th. I guess it's number 9, but we've got episode 0 too. So anyway, we're thinking of trying some new things coming up in the future. And one of the things that we really wanted to do was to bring in some other folks, some other voices, people who work in different fields. Maybe some people who work in tech, maybe some people who work in the investing side, but also a whole lot of other folks, people in the arts, people on the programming side, people who are doing a lot of different things that we don't know anything about, who can give us insight into other types of jobs, other types of experiences that we haven't had. Our hope is to kind of keep the same structure where we have long conversations and trim them down for you, and try to keep it interesting and develop topics with these people, and to stay on the same subject material of like people in their 20s trying to figure out what's going on with this career thing and how to stay mindful and how to stay sane in all the chaos. So we're going to be trying that out coming up soon. As we kind of get set on that and as we start to figure that out, there's a chance that we might miss a few weeks just as we kind of get our levels set on that. So if there's a little bit of a break, that is why. Daniel, what do you get to say?
Yeah, so I actually wanted to talk through some ideas with you live on the air, and then get listener feedback on them through Twitter, hopefully.
Yes.
Because I definitely, so I don't know if all of you guys who listen to this show know this, but like we recorded 5 episodes, I think, and then we cut those down to 2. And those were our first 2 episodes. And the way that we did that is we actually ended up releasing 3 episodes to our friends and family. And then like got a bunch of feedback in like a Google form from them. And based on their feedback, we like changed up the format of the show and we, you know, got a little bit more specific with our topics and stuff like that. So this show has been and continues to be like very feedback driven and like very much like,
yes,
an experiment where we're getting feedback from people and sort of changing things up. So I love Agile as a programming methodology, but basically like as a methodology for managing projects. And one of the things that happens in Agile project management is that you work in sprints, like we've talked about. And I'm hoping what we can sort of start to do is think of this show as working in 10 episode sprints. And that basically after every 10 episodes, we can sort of have a retrospective episode where we come together and talk about what is working and what's not working and like what do we want to change for the next 10 episodes. So one of the things we've talked about off the air is the idea that we want to potentially have guests. And I think there's a couple ways we can do that. And so I wanted to talk to you about that. A lot of shows that have guests are interview shows. And I'm a little bit not as interested in doing an interview show as I am in just doing our show with a different third voice involved every time.
Do not want to interview anyone.
Yeah, exactly. And so I like the idea that like we'll do the same type of structure of the show. We'll do a topic or two, and we'll do some general chewing of the fat before and after. But in this case, we'll just introduce, you know, a third voice into each show. And we'll, that voice will hopefully be from someone who provides a little bit of a different perspective. Another thing that I wanted to mention, and I really want to get your feedback on this, because I had a dream that we talked about this, but we didn't actually.
Spooky.
I was pretty sure that you had already agreed to this, and then I was talking to you today, I was like, wait a second, that was a dream.
This is a great
that didn't actually happen.
This is a great management style, is just like, whenever you want to introduce something new, be like, just start talking and be like, no, this is something that John and I already agree upon. But I'm just going to proceed to tell you about it anyways.
Yeah, so we agree on this in my dreams. So hopefully we agree on it in real life too. I think it's cool. So we've talked a lot about like the structure of our work and stuff. So I think it's really cool the idea of bringing in various people with different structures of jobs.
Hmm.
So like bring in some business owners, bring in some employees of large companies, employees of small companies, people who are freelancers, people who are like long-term contractors,
yes.
And just kind of like people who work in different shapes, I guess.
Yeah.
Because I think that is one of the things that you and I are really interested in is like, what shape of jobs do we want to have? Like, what shape of careers do we want to have? So we both kind of want to own a business or start a business at least. And so I think like talking to some business owners would be cool. But then there's also like, there's all these freelancers who technically own their own business.
Mm-hmm,
there's also
mm-hmm.
people I know who've transitioned careers from one career to another. And I think that would be a really interesting thing to talk about.
Yes.
So, yeah, if it's all the same to you, I would love to try and do that. Like, try and focus on pulling people who have, like, different types of careers, not just, like, a bunch of people who are employees at companies with 10 to 50 employees.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I love that. If you listeners, if you dear listeners, have any ideas that you would like to share with us? We've obviously been kind of like going bouncing back and forth on a bunch of ideas, and I think we have at least a small handful of folks that we've decided we want to talk to. If you have other ideas, or if you think this idea is stupid, or if you have any other thoughts that you'd like to share with us on this, let us know. And if there are topics that you want to hear other people talk about, let us know.
And one other thing, listeners, guess what? We're going to record a new intro.
Good point.
We're kind of thinking this is season two. I can only listen to Michael Johnson just blabber on about us and being a morale booster so many times.
Yeah.
But yeah, so we're going to record a new intro. So if you want to be in the intro for season two of Fits and Starts, shoot us a tweet at Fits_and_starts.
Yeah, we might try to get John Schimpf on there. He's going to say a lot of mean things.
Oh, you got to get Schimpf on there. Well, he was Listener of the Week.
He was Listener of the Week.
2 weeks ago. He was the only ever Listener of the Week, honestly.
I guess that makes him like the Listener of the Year.
Noel?
Hello?
What's up, brother? Let's talk about Fits and Starts.
Fits and Starts is about people our age talking about work.
Fits and Starts is highly specific, but highly specific in the things I'm interested in.
The things that I like.
I think that I didn't fall asleep.
Conversations that you guys have are like real life conversations. If you were like sitting in my living room, so keep up that good work.
Like podcasting, honey.
But ding!
There's really only one thing I don't like.
Mic problems.
Not often you get to hear two white dudes give their opinions on stuff. Annoying bros, but not annoying.
Like, no, you know what Fits and Starts is like?
Fits and Starts. Fits and Starts.
Fits and Starts is a morale booster. That's absolutely what it is.
This week, we talk about when to change jobs versus when you're just being entitled. Daniel has some tips on how to handle your money in your 20s, and I find some finicky new ways to make myself coffee and water. As always, thanks for listening. Subscribe, rate, review, comment, tell your friends. You know all this stuff. Just do it. You've spoken before about like why you changed jobs and kind of what some of your thought process was. I remember you talking about how you really wanted to become a better programmer. And although you enjoyed the project management side of it, you kind of saw long-term, maybe some different directions you wanted to head in. And in the meantime, the most valuable and most important thing for you right now was to become an excellent programmer. And that's what Titan has allowed you to do a lot. And I think that was it was interesting to hear you talk about your decision-making process. I'm curious now, as I'm at a little bit of a crossroads, to continue to talk to you about like how someone in our age group thinks about when to change an organization or when to change a career or when to change kind of like where you're headed.
Totally.
I think there are a few different ways of like approaching that decision. And I'd be curious to pick your brain a little bit more about it. Like, cause it seems like there is a little bit of like grass is always greener. We've talked about this before, like between working at a big company and working at a small company. I've worked at big companies and small companies. And I can say confidently that the whole time that I've been working at a big or small company, I have like had in the back of my head, like, oh boy, it sure would be great if I was at the other one, right?
Sure.
Working at a very large company with a lot of bureaucracy, I can't get it out of my head how great it would have been to have, you know, just like one boss and a small team where everyone got along and everything was great. And now I'm on a very small team and there are some things I really appreciate about it. But I look over at people who are at Facebook and Google and say, geez, there are some real benefits of being in a giant, well-funded organization where you can jump around and see a lot of different lines of business and get these incredible perks and whatever else. I think there's also that grass is greener mentality with like a lot of different things. Like you were talking about with like, you know, being a programmer versus being a project manager. What we talked about last time about being kind of a process person versus being like a creative content person. And I'm curious of what you make of that sort of grass is always greener, like, you know, the approach to thinking about where you wind up, what kind of work you end up doing.
Totally. So I think part of it, I mean, like most of our topics, this is going to come back to mindfulness eventually. But I think like a big part of it is, do you have a sort of a long-term goal, right? And if you do, then
yeah,
it's sort of easier to like, if you have like an ideal, right? Especially like a written down ideal of like, what do I want from my career? Then it's a lot easier to compare where you're at to like, does this meet up with my ideal? Like, does this, the way that I'm living right now, like, does this contribute to the whole of what I want out of my career, right?
Yeah.
Then there's like this shorter term, like day to day, like, oh my God, I hate my job today. Or like, oh my God, I'm so glad I work here today, right? And those are, I think, unrelated to the larger picture, right? I think every job and every like set of circumstances, even like a relationship or a house that you live in or a city that you live in or, you know, all kinds of things, they're all going to have these like day-to-day fluctuations about how great or not great you feel about them. And that's where I think mindfulness comes in, right? Is like being aware of the contributing factors to that, right? And being aware of like, okay, like today I feel like everyone at my job is crazy and the expectations are unbelievable and no one really understands where I'm at right now and I should just leave and go somewhere where I'm appreciated. Right? Like everyone has had that train of thought before on like a Wednesday. Right?
Right.
And the question you have to ask yourself is like, okay, first of all, back up. Take a breath. You know, get your ducks in a row, as you say. Right? Get a cup of coffee. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Go outside. Get some fresh air. You know, come back inside. Sit down at your desk.
Take a deep breath.
Yeah. And say to yourself, okay.
Actually take 20 deep breaths.
Yeah. 20 deep breaths. Slowly. And say to yourself, like, am I like accurately assessing the situation, right? So, okay, I think everyone at my job is crazy. Is it possible that I'm being crazy, you know, and that they're all fine.
They're the crazy ones.
Yeah, they're all fine. And I have unrealistic expectations in this moment. See if maybe your expectations are not where they need to be, right? See if maybe you have expectations that you're not entitled to, because sometimes it's like, oh, yeah, I took this job. They agreed to pay me an amount of money and I agreed to do some work. And now when they're asking me to do the work, all of a sudden I feel like I'm not getting paid enough money, you know? Look at that. But then also like back up and see like what has changed? Like what changed from the time when I felt like this was a good job to this moment right now where I feel like this is a bad job, right? And a lot of times I feel like the thing that changed was my attitude and my level of entitlement, right? Like I have been at jobs before where I thought that they were a bad job because I had gotten so much that I felt entitled to more. And that's not a good scene, right? And that's not right. to hate on ambition, right? And that's the thing, is like having ambition and having like the desire to grow continuously and always want a little bit more than you have right now, I think that's fine, right? Because that's like, that's kind of a natural capitalist instinct, you know? But
sure.
The idea that somehow other people are required to give that to you, right? Or that you're entitled to more without doing more work. I think that's kind of like a toxic idea, but it's something that I'm prone to, you know? And so for me, it's really important to like check in and say, okay, is what I'm feeling the desire to grow, or is what I'm feeling like an expectation of entitlement that's not real, you know?
Yeah.
And so like at my previous job, there was a point where I interviewed at another company based on entitlement and expectation. And about halfway through that interview process, I realized what was going on. And I basically said to them, like, listen, I don't think I can take this job because I don't actually want this job. I just got kind of messed up in my head about my old job. And they like totally understood it and like were like, all right, shake hands. Thanks for coming by, you know? And then I eventually did leave that job, but I left that job out of a genuine desire to grow, you know, and it took me 3 or 4 months of like serious, like writing and thinking and figuring out what I actually wanted, you know, because just wanting like an easy job where no one's going to bother you and you make a ton of money and like everyone treats you like you're brilliant is great and all, but like, that's not like a career plan, right? So sitting around saying like, man, I really wish everyone here would like leave me the fuck alone is that's not a career plan, right? And that was what I was working off of in that first interview. So what I had to do was like back up, slow down, get better at the job that I had, realize like what the expectations of me were, figure out, okay, what needs to change for me to be happy here? And partly that was me and partly that was them, right? But I needed to change me before I could go to them and ask them to change them, right? And so I needed to like figure out my side of the equation first.
I would love to be within the next like, I don't know, 5-8 years, a product manager for something. And hopefully in the tech world, that's kind of the, like, I've decided that's the trajectory I'm going to go down is I would really, really love to be a product manager. And the interesting thing is that like, there's a lot of different places that I could do that. And there's actually a lot of different fields that I could do that in.
So like we were talking about, before with investing, like you can invest with more risk when you're young, cause you can afford to lose more. I feel like the same thing applies to jobs, where you can basically afford to risk your stability to some extent and move for a job or take a pay cut to take a job that's more interesting, or, you know, go across disciplines more to a job that you may feel a little bit less qualified for. You can do a lot of these like riskier maneuvers when you're young because you're not going to like torpedo your career at the age of 25, right? Whereas if you're 45 or 50, it's a lot riskier to give up like a good, safe job. And so I think change of scenery is good because you want to figure out what you want while you can still switch around a lot, right? And you don't want to get locked into something you don't like because you didn't experiment enough when you were 25. I don't know if that makes any sense.
Yeah, it does. It's funny. It reminded me of when I was working at a hospital in Jakarta before I took my current job. I was having a long conversation with my boss, my now boss. He was not my boss at the time. He was just a friend at the time. But he and I were talking, and I was talking about how incredibly frustrated I was with so much of the kind of like toxic bureaucracy at the place where I was working. And he was like, well, why don't you just go try to like shake it up? Why don't you go do something crazy? And it was like, well, I don't want to like, you know, I don't want to rock the boat or whatever. He's like, no. But like, what's the very worst thing that could happen? The very worst thing that could happen is that you get fired and you're 24 and you go find something new. Like, and you tried something and you learn from it.
Exactly.
And he was like, if that's the very worst case scenario, that's not a very bad scenario for a 24-year-old. It's like, all right. I didn't make a lot of friends at the hospital after that. But it kind of fits in with the point you were making of like, just go and do it. Like, especially now, if you don't have kids, you don't have like a lot of other responsibilities. Like, just kind of go after it. Get after it. What's the worst that can happen?
Exactly. And, you know, one of the things I said earlier about how, like, you have to change you before you can ask them to change them, that is much more relevant at a smaller company where you can actually ask them to change them, right? If you're like a regional manager at Sam's Club, right? Mm. And you're in charge of, you know, 40 Sam's Club stores in the Northeast or something. And you do all the changing you when you're in a great place and you go to Sam's Club and you say, guys, I think that we should.
We really ought to stop selling dog food.
Yeah. We ought to stop selling dog food because dogs deserve to eat human food. The odds of that going up the chain and like changing the organization from the inside are much lower, right? So there is an extent where I think if you're working in a large enough organization, there's only so much impact you can have and you might need to cut bait earlier. Whereas in a smaller organization, it's sometimes worth sticking around to see what you can contribute to making the culture better.
Hello. Oh my.
Oh boy.
Which setting am I supposed to have mine on? I've never really played around with that.
You're going to want to put that on cardioid. That's the one with the little, kind of like a heart-shaped one with like a fat heart. Jeepers creepers. Hey, how do I sound? I sound good? This is the new mic, yeah. New mic setup. I'm Yeti-ing. I'm on the Yeti.
The Yeti Blue?
Young Yeti off the lean. Yeah. I went ahead and I did a hard up and a soft down.
Yeah, uh-huh. I get that. Let's see, input.
You get it. What's up? How are you, my sister?
Hello, Sister Hannah.
Okay, I'm going to have to confirm with my fiancé, as it were.
Do I sound clear or do I sound better?
You sound magical. Oh man, I'm getting a FaceTime.
You're getting a FaceTime from whom?
Do I sound like sonorous? I'm using this microphone and I'm hoping that my voice sounds really clear and crisp. This is like that ASMR stuff. You know about ASMR?
Do I know about ASMR?
Do you? I'm going to go ahead and say right off the bat that this is halfway a topic and halfway a Slack conversation I halfway had with some coworkers recently.
So is that like a quarter of a topic? How does that, if a half of a half?
Yeah, it's half something else, and half of the thing that it isn't is a topic. So I'm going to go ahead and say, I'm 25. You're 25, 26, right?
26.
So you're 26, I'm 25. We're both ostensibly adults. We both have jobby jobs. You know, there's all these things like financial responsibility, fiscal responsibility, mm-hmm. I think is the way most people say it, that are commonly associated with being an adult, right?
Yes.
And presumably, I guess a lot of people took some sort of class in high school or college about like personal finance and like understanding how to be good at this.
Mm-hmm. Like what is a mortgage? What is an IRA account? What is it?
Yeah. All these things, right? And then I just didn't, right? And so I found myself in this situation where I guess I was, you know, in my early to mid 20s and I had like a jobby job and like I had health insurance and I didn't understand what an HSA was. And then there's like, oh, you can have a 401k or a Roth IRA and all these things. And I'm like, those are things that I know that taxes are involved somehow. And I know that I should be saving a certain amount of money, but like, should I save it into a savings account or should I save it into a CD or a Roth IRA or a 401k? Or should I be buying the Vanguard index fund or who am I and what do I do with this money? Right. I know I'm supposed to do something with this money.
Get you a few ETFs.
I got to be doing something with this money, and I don't know what to be doing with this money. And so over the course of the last couple of years, I have accumulated what I'm going to call the most basic possible understanding of what to do with my money, right? And as far as I can tell, and a lot of this, I'm going to go ahead and shout out to listener Steve. Steve is my friend, and Steve worked in finance for a while and now owns a company and does all of his taxes and the taxes for the company and a lot of accounting stuff and just knows a lot about how money works. And is very smart.
Thank you to listener
and
Steve.
And so I trust Steve. And so Steve has pointed me in many good directions. And so what I know now is that you should max out your company's matching on your 401k. Mm-hmm. You should put $5,000 a year into a Roth IRA. And then beyond that, the road broadens. But those are two things that everyone I've talked to about this somehow magically knows that those are the two things that you're supposed to do. And I'm wondering where they all learned this, because it seems like it's just something that like your dad tells you at some point or something.
Right.
Like it's one of those things where it's like a lot of people got the manual to life. And I just was like, oh.
This is like the Mark Maron thing.
Yeah, it's like, what? Who knew? Who knew that this is what you were supposed to do?
Yeah.
And so my fiance's father, my future father-in-law, works in insurance. So he explained to me what an HSA was. But there's all these things where it's like, I've just sort of gathered these things where it's like, oh, here's an acronym. I need to go find someone to explain this acronym to me and tell me how I need to be applying this to my life. What do you think about this?
Yeah. So I guess I'll answer first. What do I think about that? And then follow it up with an idea. But you might be surprised to know, you might be not surprised to know, that I am actually pretty bad about this stuff. And I wonder if it would be a really interesting podcast episode idea to get someone who just like is totally buttoned up on this. And just grill them.
I think that would be awesome. We could get listener Steve for sure, but we could get anybody really. End of the day, I am surprised to learn that you consider yourself bad at this. I would have thought, based on your spreadsheets, that you would have a spreadsheet about this.
I know. I have a spreadsheet where I pretty meticulously track my own cash, and I do save money. But the thing is that the pitfall that I am prone to, which I think a lot of other people maybe in their 20s are prone to, is that I always consider myself to be in a transition period. And I'm always saying to myself that I'm going to start being good at that once I stop being in transition. And of course, as almost any adult will tell you, there's like that point where you're like, okay, here we are, we're settled, we're no longer transitioning. Like that might never come. And so it's like, there's never like a perfect time to say, now I'm going to start, taking this stuff seriously and start getting buttoned up on this. It seems like any time is the right time to do that. Right.
Yep.
So when I was in Indonesia, I was always saying to myself like, well, I'm not making as much money over here. I'm kind of like, I'm not like close to my bank. I'm spending some of my money on travel right now instead of like thinking too much about the future. So this isn't when I'm going to do it. I'm going to start doing it when I'm back in America. And then even once I got back here, like I feel like, well, you know, there's a chance I'll transition jobs. I'm not totally sure where I'm going to live. I don't know what my monthly like expenses look like. So that's going to come later on once I'm really settled in somewhere. That's when I'll start really digging into this stuff. Mm-hmm. Now, to be fair, like I save money and I invest money and I'm pretty careful with money, but I am not as well educated on this stuff as I should be.
All right. So let me shout out. I was talking to my coworkers, and I have a new coworker named Caleb who is like in week two or three at Titan. He's new, and apparently he's awesome because he gave me a Google Sheets template to calculate all of this, which is pretty awesome of a person to do.
Nice.
But here is his 5-step process to being an adult with money. Listener Caleb, who I don't actually believe has ever listened to this podcast. Number one.
Thank you, listener
number
Caleb.
Number one, get that match, by which he means if your company will match a certain percentage of 401k contributions, then get that. So
it's free money.
Free money. So Titan matches 3%, so I put 3% into my 401k. So I get that free Titan money. Number two, make sure you're below the 25% federal tax bracket by putting money into your 401k. So basically what that means is that you will not, basically if you make over a certain amount of money, then you're in the 25% federal tax bracket. And if you make less than that amount of money, you're in the 15% federal tax bracket. And that is the biggest tax bracket jump that exists, is between the 15 to 25 brackets. So basically, like, hide money in your 401k because that money is tax free until you get below that 25% bracket. And the bracket is different depending on, you know, where you live and if you're married and all this stuff. Number three, stash it into your Roth IRA until max. So that means basically your Roth IRA is like tax-free investing. So you can put up to $5,000 a year in there tax-free. So basically, if you've got extra money laying around, throw it in there. And then back into your 401k, hopefully until max. And then outside of tax shelters and just straight Vanguard index funds, do you. So that is his five-step process, which makes tons of sense when I think about it. But no one ever gave me a clearly aligned thing. All I knew was, like, max out your 401k match and put $5,000 into your Roth. But I never even thought about tax brackets and all of this. So it's crazy. So anyway, yeah, I just wanted to bring that up because I thought it was very interesting that, you know, we talk a lot about being, like, in the beginning of your career and being, like, in your 20s. Yeah. And it seems like one of those things where it's not often explained, and it's just one of those things where I have learned in the past, and I'm learning still, that there is, like, you know, a few simple, like, rule of thumb type of things can take you 80% of the way there, and yep. Then as you learn more, and as your interest develops or doesn't, you can go further. This is, like, the source of all of these things, Japan.
I know. I'm not equivocating about it.
Oh my god, you're grossing me out.
That's what I'm saying, man. I know.
Two shares, something like that.
We got the Trump bump going on right now. Things are at an all-time high.
It's kind of a way of me justifying how angry I can get at some of their decisions, because I'm like,
I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, but you're not going to get it right without running for Senate.
If somebody rolls over in negotiation, you're like, oh no, I did not do that well.
All he wants to do now is, like, go buy an esports team. Because he's like, I want to go somewhere with no government regulation whatsoever.
So you win either way.
Yeah, or I lose either way.
That could be super interesting.
That would be so cool.
My little scribbling on my legal pad here. It's been the one constant in the last John, 6 years. John, so John. Still really John. Interested in healthcare.
Oh, man.
And I want to try to make healthcare a better place.
John, allow me to be the Asheville cinema owner in your life.
You know, I'll say, now that you don't have that omnidirectional mic, that does not make nearly as pleasant as a noise as it used to.
Really? I could change the setting on the mic if you want to pick it up. I could switch to omni.
would you mind plugging in your old mic so that I could hear this sound?
There we go. All right, now I'm going to...
Yep.
Getting that?
Uh-huh. Sure am.
That.
Let me ask you this. I got a little something to share with you. Did you hear that sound there? This
Yeah, that sounds like you opened a can of tennis balls.
Uh-huh. Do you hear the sparkling?
Ooh, I do.
So, Daniel, I got to tell you, I was drinking. We kind of got into this a little bit last week, but it was getting to a point where I was drinking a lot of LaCroix. One might say too much. One might even go so far as to say that my life was becoming unmanageable. And I needed a solution. And my solution, instead of cutting down on carbonated beverages, because I really like my carbonated beverages, I decided to make an investment in a SodaStream. And
get out of town.
Are you familiar?
Get out of town.
Have you tried these things?
Oh boy, have I. Well, okay, so listen, here's the deal. I don't own one. I've never actually touched one with my hands, but I do go to a coffee shop that gives me a little SodaStream dump water with my espresso.
Yeah, oh boy, that is a great touch. I would go back to that coffee shop anytime.
I do.
I went to on another note, I met a guy yesterday for a quick lunch meeting, not realizing that he was an employee of Apple. And so I met him at the Apple cafeteria, And I'm happy to report that inside the Apple cafeteria, they have a water stream of just carbonated water that's carbonated kind of under the table. And you got a thing that almost looks like it's like a, like a beer tap, and you pull it and some...
They don't carbonate it out in the open?
No, it's all behind closed doors. Then there's, of course, like aluminum casing around it. And so it was actually a very interesting conversation I had with the guy. I didn't realize he buys materials for Apple and was explaining to me what he does. And it is totally fascinating. He sits in a lab with people. They source materials. They go out and they touch them. They just basically get like a feel on like hundreds of different kinds of aluminum. And then pick the one that's going to go be on the aluminum casing for the new MacBook Pro.
Wow. So he's the one who's responsible for touching the monolith.
Yes, exactly. And so not only does he touches many different monolithi, one of the things that they... One of the things he did confirm was that they have, at any given time, tons and tons of prototypes that are top secret floating around. So he was saying they had, you know, dozens of MacBook Pros sitting around in different kinds of casings for a very long time. And he said even as late as like a couple weeks before a release, marketing can come in or the finance team can come in and say, you know, we need you to change this. We need you to add another color. We need you to... We're going to go with this design, not this design. It's pretty incredible, but it was interesting to talk to him.
Yeah, we need you to justify a $400 price bump.
So basically, to get back to my point, I got the SodaStream. Mm-hmm. The first thing that I was amazed by was that it doesn't plug into the wall. It's just you know, carbonation. It's just carbonation that goes straight into the water, and that's it. There's nothing else to it.
There's no electricity?
No. And that's the weird thing. So you just it's actually pretty great product design. It's like you just take the little
Oh, because it's a gas canister.
Yeah, you get the little gas canister, you plug it in, you screw it in the back. You take the water thing, you fill it up, and you just put it in there and then hold it down for as long as you want and then pull it back out. No electricity. It just shoots it right in there. And I got to say, I'm really enjoying it so far. Apparently there's a lot of other things you can do. Like putting a little simple syrup in there, maybe squirting a little like grapefruit juice, stuff like that, make it a little more flavorful. Mm. But I gotta say, so far this has been a fine investment.
What's that gonna run you?
$90. I gotta say,
that's reasonable.
It's pretty reasonable, and for the amount of LaCroix that I was drinking per month, economical.
And this brings us back to episode one, wherein you like nice things but need to justify them.
Yeah, exactly. So
carry on.
So another thing that I bought that I justified is I bought recently an AeroPress, and the AeroPress was a good purchase. Do you use an AeroPress?
I don't, but I'm aware of them and the function.
Yeah, it's interesting, and I didn't want to buy a whole coffee maker. I didn't know what my long-term living situation was going to be. I thought, I also, you know, planning to go spend some time out camping, out hiking, whatever, and it's easy enough to bring those with you. So I picked one up, and I've been using it pretty regularly. It's nice, but when it doesn't go perfectly, it turns into a terrible science experiment. And it's funny because I had, just before this, I was trying to rush over here to get here, and I jacked up the AeroPress and spilled it, and then there was like equipment all over the place. But then I was finishing up the SodaStream and I was setting that up, and there were cardboard boxes. Basically, by the end of this time, to get to this point where I have a bottle of fresh carbonated water and also a Yeti full of coffee, my kitchen looks like a meth lab right now. It's like a crime scene in there.
Yeah. Uh huh.
Anyway.
Yeah, I've been digging pretty deep into the V60 pour over recently. And Charlotte is, you could say that one of our primary disagreements, Charlotte and I, is how many different ways to make coffee a person should own. I am of the opinion that every time I hear of a new way to make coffee, I should purchase it. And she's of the opinion that I'm crazy. But anyway, I've been digging into the V60 recently, which I really like. Because, you know, you pop a little filter in there, you grind some coffee, you throw it in, pour, and then you just kind of grab the filter and throw it in the trash, and you get no cleanup.
Now, my question for you is, Are you getting different things out of these different kinds of coffee makers, or is it just sort of a curiosity thing?
Totally.
Okay.
No, absolutely. So with the V60, I'm getting like a nice, clean, light cup of coffee, which is great for certain coffees. Then previously, I've been pretty invested in the French press world, which is a much darker, grittier cup of coffee. You can throw a filter in those to clean those up a little bit. But some coffees, you know, I like a little meal in the bottom of my coffee. But with the V60, it's much more like lighter, freshly roasted, floral coffees. I'm enjoying a lot of those. I got a buddy who's doing these like bulk orders right now.
Yeah. I feel like for me, it's more of a curiosity thing. I don't know. I wouldn't know what to do if I had all those. I would be paralyzed by decision. Now, the nice thing about the AeroPress is that it does clean up very easily. And I was doing it wrong at first. I was creating more problems than it was actually giving me. But now I've realized it's great. When we finish it up, you just use a plunger and go straight out and just rinse it out and it's done. It's nice.
The French press, I love a French press, but the French press has always been like a really messy thing to live with.
It really is. I've for years of my life, I've used a French press just because it felt like, I don't know, I guess it felt convenient, or maybe it was like $20 cheaper than buying a machine. But I gotta say, you know, I've kind of jumped off the French press wagon. It's not easy to clean up. It's not very convenient. And it's not that much cheaper than just buying a good coffee maker. Here we go. You ready for this?
What was that?
It's my SodaStream.
What happened?